Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to The Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. For the next half hour, I just ask you, please don't touch the dial. We're going to talk about a difficult subject that people don't want to hear about, but we need to hear about it. We're going to talk about the state of abortion in America and why Christians need to take a stand for the unborn. In recent months, you've seen the state of New York legalize abortion right up to the moment of delivery. You've got the governor of Virginia saying that after the baby's born, you can sit and let it die. So these are dire days for America. I want to introduce to you Brian Gibson of Pro-Life Action Ministry. Welcome, Brian.
Good to be on the show with
you,
Tom.
And Brian is the person that helps stand in front of abortion clinics, and they pray for people as they go in the door. They try to hand the woman or the couple literature, please don't kill your baby. It's quite a ministry they have. But Brian's also an expert, so we're going to talk about the state of abortion in America, and I urge you, please listen to every word. So Brian, you're a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran.
Yes.
The Catholic governor of New York, Cuomo, signs in celebration that they're going to have abortions now right up to the moment of delivery. You've got Nancy Pelosi, who says she's a Catholic, running the Senate, very pro-abortion rights. Now, I'm a Lutheran. I left the ELCA Lutheran Church because they pay for abortions right. with offering dollars. All right, so what, I mean, what's tragic is you've got Christian denominations endorsing this stuff. So let's talk about first the Catholic side.
Okay.
Can Cuomo get communion in the Catholic Church? Can Nancy Pelosi take communion?
Well, in the case, well, let's take each one separately because they're somewhat different. And I'll take it one big step backwards. Because somebody says they're Catholic doesn't mean that they are practicing
Amen.
The faith. And the Catholic Church teaching on abortion has been crystal clear.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, it's always wrong under all circumstances to abort a baby.
Okay.
That's Catholic, basic Catholic teaching. It's always wrong. So for Nancy Pelosi to say that she's a faith-filled Catholic is not true. It just simply is not true. Should she be able to receive communion? No, she should not. The conditions for receiving communion are very clear. And a person, as what we call mortal sin, somebody in a state of mortal sin, cannot be going and presenting themselves to receive communion.
Okay.
And so Nancy Pelosi, by virtue of advocating for the killing of the innocent children,
mm-hmm.
Her long standing in this work in this area, in my opinion, violates that and puts her in a state of sin that does not allow her to receive communion.
To your knowledge, does she get communion?
I don't know.
What about
I don't know her. I don't know.
Governor Cuomo says he's a Catholic Christian.
Right. Governor Cuomo is another case where he is self-excommunicated in essence. He does not present himself for communion.
Oh, okay.
And nor do I believe he presents himself for other sacraments as well.
Okay.
So
he's a nominal Catholic.
Well,
if that.
If you would even call him Catholic at all at that point, it's like, yes, he was baptized as a Catholic as a child,
right.
but he's not living it in any way, shape, or form.
And now let me talk about the Lutherans. If you are an ELCA Lutheran, your money that you put in the plate can go to pay for abortion for any reason in the ELCA healthcare plan. It's one of the big reasons my church and I left years ago to get out of the ELCA because they refused to change that. So join the Missouri Synod Lutherans, join the Free Lutherans, but I wouldn't give money to the ELCA and I wouldn't participate.
Yeah.
All right, next. Brian,
yes.
Can you explain what the decision was in New York State?
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you. I had one huge surprise with the passage of the law in New York, in the state of New York. And that surprise was that abortion already wasn't legal all 9 months.
Oh, okay.
As it is in most states in the United States. Okay.
Here? In Minnesota?
In Minnesota, yes, absolutely.
You can abort a baby at 8 months in Minnesota?
Yes, it's legal to abort children all the way up to birth in Minnesota. That was what Roe versus Wade, Dovey Bolton gave us in 1973, across the board in all 50 states. The reason why New York wasn't legal until recently through all 9 months is that they passed their abortion laws before Roe versus Wade.
Uh-huh.
And when Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973, they did allow states to limit abortion after what was called viability. And that was the point in which New York State had already passed legislation allowing abortion pre-viability. So that's the
why
distinction
they had
there.
To undo it.
Right. The real thing that was horrific with the passage of this law in New York, it was a celebration.
And the applauding of it.
That was so offensive.
And so, wait a minute, though. Aren't there states where it is illegal to do an abortion after a certain number of months?
Yes, there is now.
Okay.
And what happened was, in the early years after Roe versus Wade, the U.S. Supreme Court virtually was turning down any state legislation that was coming forward that would limit anything about abortion whatsoever. We passed... Minnesota passed the first laws that would regulate the abortion facilities. The courts turned it down. We passed the first laws on several other items, including we had one that was not post-viability, but we called it post-potential viability. And so that was set at 20 weeks. Well, that was too soon, so it was turned down by the courts.
Are some of these getting through now?
They are now.
Okay.
Many of them are now. In fact, many states have passed post-viability bans on abortion now since then. States have also gone so far as to pass legislation that would limit abortion, types of abortion. So we got one that what is called the partial birth abortion was made illegal in several states and then nationwide by Congress in the 1990s.
Okay.
So we have that.
So is partial birth abortion illegal nationwide?
It is. It is illegal nationwide. That type of abortion, it doesn't limit abortion by gestational age. It limits by a type of abortion procedure.
Well, and I don't want to get too political, but it's the Democratic governors that are being very pro-abortion. Explain the governor of Virginia and what he wants.
Well, the governor of Virginia, following suit after Cuomo and the state of New York passed their legislation, also was calling for passage of a legislation that would enshrine abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. And even if the baby were born alive in the process of an abortion, that baby does not have a right to be alive.
Isn't
according
that incredible?
To his
That's infanticide.
Idea.
That's clearly infanticide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the good news is that the state legislature in Virginia did not push
right.
that legislation
forward.
And I
don't know
forward.
If you saw it, Brian. Months ago when this whole New York thing was in the news, did you see the editorial cartoon of a stork carrying a baby in its beak over and it says, hang on, kid, we're flying over New York.
Yeah, be careful.
All right. Let's talk about this. You are a part of the Pro-Life Action Ministries, and I've done this with you on a few occasions. It's very hard to go in front of an abortion clinic and to lovingly, you don't yell, you're not saying you're going to hell. The opposition likes to make you look like a jerk.
Yeah.
But you lovingly pray for people and you hand them literature and stuff. Do you see people ever turning around?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell me a story or two.
Okay. Let me give you just...
Yeah, give me the facts.
Just very recently, this happened while I was sidewalk counseling. We call it sidewalk counseling. These are trained individuals who are doing what you're talking about, where we're reaching out to the women and the men who are coming for scheduled abortion appointments. And I was out sidewalk counseling one Wednesday morning recently, and the young woman came back out. She had walked in, which is very rare at the location I'm at. She had walked out, and she walked by me, so I started to engage her in conversation. Had tried to as she went in. She took my literature going in, but she didn't really talk to me. On the way out, though, she stops and says, I didn't have it.
Hallelujah.
And I said, now, wait a minute. You didn't have what? Were you here for an abortion? She said, yes, I was here for an abortion, and I didn't let the devil have my baby.
Wow.
That was her response. And
Wonderful.
Then, of course, I'm trying to give her... We have lists of information of all the places she can go to get any help she needs whatsoever.
Okay.
So different pro-life agencies,
Wonderful.
Help centers, and so forth.
Right.
So then I'm giving her all that information
Wonderful.
So she can get all the
Listen,
help she needs.
God bless you. And Pro-Life Action Ministries, PLAM.org.
Org.
Correct.
correct.
This is a place you want to give your money. I mean, if you don't want to be in front of that abortion clinic like I don't, but you want these people to do it, give them your support because they're doing a wonderful work. Brian.
Yeah, but I want them out in front of the abortion.
If you want to volunteer, plam.org. Whoa. And they'll get you to BrianGibsonPlan.org. They'll get you. They'll show you how to do this if you want to be part of that.
Well, but we also have, you know, that's one section of what we do where we train people to engage the women going in, as I was just describing. Mm-hmm. But we also want people out there who are there in prayer.
Oh, that's right.
That aren't necessarily engaging anyone but God.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have a sign. Right. All you have to do is stand there and talk to God.
Yep, good.
You know, in groups, in small groups, by yourself, whatever it is. Come out there and stand there in prayer.
Yeah.
And we train for that as well. It doesn't take as much, but
the
absolutely.
Biggest abortion provider in the country is Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And I suppose that you're in front of their big clinic now. Is it in St. Paul?
Yeah, the one in St. Paul is one of the largest, highest volume Planned Parenthoods in the United States.
What do you say to people? Yes, they do abortions, but that's just a tiny bit of what they do. They're doing all kinds of health services for women. Is that true?
It's a partial minor truth.
Well, tell me what's true and what's not.
Well, they do contraceptive work. So they are dispensing birth control to women. So they do that, and that's not abortion. Mm-hmm. They will do pap smears and do in doing that do cervical cancer checks. That's not abortion. That's true. Okay. So it's not. And they do some other things along those lines. Okay, that's the mainstay of what they do. They're dispensing contraception and so forth. But all of what they do on that contraceptive work leads toward abortion in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Did you say 50% of their business is abortion?
I don't know what the percentage of their abortion business is, but I do know that the majority of their money that they make is from abortion.
I see. Okay.
So other than donations, the majority of the income comes from committing abortions.
Have you ever seen an abortionist turn around?
Yes, we have. Many times throughout the years. There was one man. I don't know if you're familiar with John Piper, Dr. John Piper.
He taught me Greek at Bethel College. Yeah.
Okay. Well-known Baptist in the area here and well-known across the country. He and I are good friends despite our differences in our denominational backgrounds. John, we actually invited John to go speak to a man who had been doing abortions many, many years ago, and he sat down with him and had the conversation. The man decided that he would no longer do abortions.
Wow.
Now, he didn't convert. He didn't at that time that I know of. I don't know if he came to Christ.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure that he did at all. But the influence of that conversation was very powerful and dramatic.
And a couple of months ago in theaters was a movie called Unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a woman who worked at Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, she was the director of that Planned
and
Parenthood.
And she repented and did a 180 degree. Yeah. And you might want to get that DVD at the, I don't know where you can get it, but it's a DVD called Unplanned. Have you seen it?
I have. I saw the movie. It's a very powerful movie, very engaging. The focus, of course, the heroine in the story in the movie is Abby Johnson, who is this director who ended up leaving Planned Parenthood because of, and these are the other heroes of the story, mm-hmm. the people on the sidewalk praying and interacting with her. So, and the organization in Texas, this was in a little town, College Station, Texas, this town, the organization was called the Coalition for Life, who modeled their organization after Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Oh, they did. Okay.
And so the very things they do there in Texas are the very things that we're still doing at all the abortion facilities in Minnesota and in Central Florida where we're
located.
And again,
God bless you, Brian. I've done it a few times with you. It's spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
To be in front of an abortion clinic.
Absolutely.
And if you just pray and don't say boo to anybody, everybody, they don't yell at people. They don't yell, you're going to hell, et cetera. In fact, there's a lot of people watching the show that have had an abortion.
There certainly can be.
Or they pressured their girlfriend to have an abortion.
I've had some involvement.
Yep. And so Are there ministries that help people deal with the guilt after the fact?
Yes, yes,
and tell
absolutely.
Me about them.
Well, we call them abortion recovery programs, and there are literally dozens of them that are nationwide programs that are out there and very good. The one that comes to my head first and is not the only one by any means, but is one of the larger players, is called Rachel's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. Again, a very, very good program.
You go on a retreat kind of?
Yeah, they kind of do a retreat process. And, you know, I think, first of all, the first thing I want to say to anybody who may have been involved in abortion in any way, there is hope and there is healing
and
in Jesus Christ.
And there's forgiveness
through Christ. There absolutely is. And there's no reason to be feeling guilt or shame if you're coming to Christ mm-hmm. and you're dealing with this properly. Mm-hmm. The abortion recovery programs help delve deep into all that is a part of having been involved in abortion, whether it's a man who paid for it or forced or coerced or whatever the case might be, or the woman who actually had the abortion, or parents of somebody that put, you know, whatever the situation is, the woman, the man, the parents, whatever, can find hope and healing in Christ.
And, you know,
absolutely.
Talk about Pastor John Piper. I think I heard him preach a sermon once, and the question is, what do you say to someone who has had an abortion? And he says you do two things. He says, number one, you need to feel the sting of what you did. It was really wrong. And a lot of people don't think what they did was wrong. They defend it on The View, on television. But he says, no, the first thing you need to admit is, what I did was really wrong. But he said the second thing you need to do is come to Christ and know
yes.
that this sin is forgiven. But we need to say both. So let me ask you this, Brian.
But even if you've gone through the process of forgiveness, whatever the way you go about doing that, and I'm Catholic, so in the Catholic Church it's going
to
be through confession.
Yep.
And I think you even have a
confession.
You have that as well.
But they don't use it.
But
much.
They're well.
They should.
Not a lot of Catholics use it as they should either. but also, you know, there are those who are from evangelical free and other backgrounds where you go straight to God and you ask for forgiveness, which is absolutely good and mm-hmm. wonderful to mm-hmm. do as well. But even doing that, the post-abortive person still needs to go deeper with this.
Yes,
and
get
some healing. That's where these recovery programs
good.
Come in.
So
and
it's
they
called
really,
Rachel's Vineyard.
Vineyard is one of okay. many, many that
okay,
are out there.
Good.
Yes.
You know, Brian, just back a little bit to the State of the Union. Now, this show is now seen all over the country, but in Minnesota, when in 1995 the Supreme Court of Minnesota somehow found in our state constitution a right for you to get your abortion paid for by tax dollars,
yeah.
baloney. But is that any closer to getting overturned?
No.
It has to do with the makeup of the Supreme Court, and
the problem is in the state of Minnesota is just similar to the issue of trying to overturn Roe v. Wade at the federal level at the U.S. Supreme Court is the makeup of the court. And our court in Minnesota, unfortunately, has gone the wrong direction over the past decade.
So it's gotten more liberal.
It's probably gotten worse.
Oh, no.
The likelihood of that happening as an overturning is diminished. But there's other means, other methods of going at it and getting it. The real key to all of these is the population. It's the populace out there. If just the Christians alone, those who profess Jesus Christ, were to really stand up against abortion,
amen.
We could end this.
Yes, yes.
That's the condemnation on the church,
yeah.
is that we really could have ended this long ago mm-hmm. if we really had stood up. But
I'm going to just talk about the liberal Protestant mainline denominations, the Episcopalians, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the ELCA Lutherans. When you are paying for abortions with offering dollars, well, how can we expect to get the culture to turn around? This is just evil. Do you think, now you're a Catholic, let me go back to the Catholics because I just talked about the Presbyterians. If Catholics, why do Catholics who are pro-life vote for all these mostly Democratic pro-choice abortion people? What's going on there? Where's the breakdown going on?
Well, define pro-life. Catholics who are pro-life. Because you already talked about two well-known political figures who claim Catholicism and
don't really follow it.
They're very hard to see that they're following it. So just like any other church out there, there's levels of true commitment to the faith.
Yeah.
And those who are really faithful Catholics are pretty darn good with how they they approach
this.
Let
me ask you this.
But it's when you get away from...
Yeah, okay.
But there are also those who think they're very faithful Catholics. I would say are faithful Catholics who just don't understand the issues here very well. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing other issues that they think are very important. They've been told that we need to be concerned about social justice issues that are out there. And they don't see the difference between the horrific nature of abortion that has no point of disputation within the church and other issues that we can have disagreements about how we approach them.
All right. We would like to think the bishops of the Catholic Church understand Catholic doctrine. So let me ask you this.
Most do, I would
say.
Are
there bishops that are refusing to give communion to pro-abortion rights candidates? Does that ever happen?
Politicians, yes, there are.
There
are some around the country who have done that. After the Cuomo thing with the state of New York happened, there were several bishops around the country who said that if he presents himself in their diocese, they would refuse him communion.
Okay.
So that there are some who are saying that at this point.
Are the Catholic? I mean, I can tell you that the ELC Lutheran colleges like Augsburg, Gustavus Adolphus, St. Olaf. I'm a Lutheran. I would send no one to those colleges because of how pro-GLBT, pro-choice, pro-universalism, and all these false teachings. Are there Catholic churches that have kind of compromised on? Excuse me, Catholic colleges that have compromised on this stuff?
There's Catholic colleges are a whole new story all by themselves. Unfortunately, many of them are very difficult when it comes to not only abortion, but other issues as well. From time to time, we've had to deal with the University of St. Thomas, which is right in St. Paul. And they do straighten out after a while, but then, you know, we keep running into the issue from time to time.
I mean, just off the top of your head, if you're a Catholic watching this, I mean, I can tell you where I'd send people to the University of Northwestern. It's not a Lutheran school, but it's biblical. So there are good biblical schools. What are the more Catholic, truly Catholic, of the Catholic universities?
Well, they're not in Minnesota, so I'm
where are they?
Well, there's University of Steubenville,
in
Eastern Ohio. I think Dallas, University of Dallas in Texas, is a fairly good college. There's Christendom College. There's Benedictine College in Kansas.
All right,
they're around the country.
My dad was Catholic. He played football for Notre Dame. What's Notre Dame like?
Notre Dame is a very difficult place when it comes to Catholic faith.
Is it?
Yeah.
I remember going there years ago to their beautiful cathedral on campus. I don't know if it's a cathedral. Beautiful big Catholic church. And hearing a terrible sermon by the priest that basically you don't need to believe in Christ to be saved. So is that kind of normal for Notre Dame? Or when you say it's a difficult place, what do you mean?
Yeah, that could be, I would say, is probably along the lines of normal.
I'm
looking at these universities, these colleges, on the abortion issue solely. I mean, if I look at them on their whole faith level, that's another story altogether. And it's not good in most places.
Okay.
You know, the common thing out there is that if you want your kids to lose their faith, send them to a Catholic college.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's not true if it's the right college.
There are good Lutheran schools.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of work. You got to be discerning.
You do.
You got to be very discerning and careful and prayerful in what you're doing.
What about this, Brian? Somebody's watching this show and they know they need to start being pro-life. They've never really gotten involved in this issue at all. Do you have any advice for them how to start?
Yeah, look for the local organization that's in your area that is actually going out and praying in front of the abortion facilities.
Okay. How do they find that?
Well, go to 40 Days for Life website.
Okay.
That's a good one to go to because that's all across the United States.
Okay.
I think the last 40 Days for Life campaign during Lent, there were like 700 cities around or locations around the world, mostly in the United States, where these campaigns were going on. So,
what about
absolutely.
This? Let's say someone is watching this program who's pregnant. They've played with the idea of having an abortion. What would you say to them? Is there a website you can send them to? What would you say to them?
Well, go to optionline.org. Optionline.org. You can find a pregnancy help center near you, a good quality location or good quality center who will take care of you. And that's the first thing I'm going to tell you is, there is a wealth of help available. We can help you with whatever the real needs are.
Yep.
And there's never a need to do something so permanent as the aborting of your child for something that's so temporary as your current circumstances that can be alleviated. So,
yep. And I would just say, if you're pregnant, have the baby. If you need to give it up for adoption, okay, but you don't want to live with the fact that you've killed your child the rest of your life. And Brian, you know, I'm on a very liberal clergy Facebook page, and I mean, some of these people are rabidly pro-abortion, and they're pastors. And their line is, all you care about, Tom, is babies before they're born. Once they're born, you don't care about them at all. I think that's their way of getting rid of the abortion issue.
You're pro-birth.
Yeah, that's right. You're not pro-abortion. But once they're born, you don't care. But I don't think Planned Parenthood has anything in place to help women who have their babies, do they?
Not at all.
It's the crisis pregnancy group.
They have nothing in place to help the woman other than have the abortion.
Have the abortion. But it's these crisis pregnancy places that are pro-life that help the baby after they're born.
Right. And I've raised two adopted children, one who was scheduled to be aborted.
There you go. Amen. Amen. So everybody, Brian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having
And
me.
If you have a last shot, what do you want to say to the camera there?
Come on out, be a part of what we're doing. Get on the sidewalks, pray. Pray, pray, pray. That's what we need to do more than anything else.
Pray for an end of...
Take this seriously. This is not a light issue.
Do you think with all the Supreme Court stuff, we're closer to overthrowing Roe versus Wade?
We're closer, but we still have a long way to go.
Okay, and even if they do overthrow it...
Then we have a very long way to go.
State by state by state, it can still be legal. So thanks, Brian, for your work. Everybody, we're on the air because of God's provision through you. And we want to ask you to keep praying for the pastor study. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you'll see a website at the end of the show. You'll also see an address that you can send to. And if you know someone that really needs to see this specific program, all of our TV shows are at our website for free at pastorstudy.org. So if you or a loved one is considering abortion or whatever, go to pastorstudy.org, look at the program that's on abortion, and we'd love to help you that way. Let me quickly close in prayer. Father, we do want to pray for anyone that's had an abortion, that you will bring them to know what they have done, but then also to know that through Christ they can be forgiven. And Lord, we want to pray for those that are maybe considering an abortion. Oh Lord, may this show help them know that they need to get that baby life. And Lord, we would just pray all these prayers in the name of Jesus, our only hope. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
If you've been blessed by the Pastor Study, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to help us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ? You can donate at our website, pastorstudy.org, 2 S's, or mail a check to the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful week.